Okay, perfect. So what is up? This is DWC episode 3. This is week 2. Well, it'll be episode 3 on like the audio. Really episode 2, week 2. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and now we're on YouTube. You got our faces and everything, so we are on YouTube. We will post all those links. This will be dropping today, and we'll post all those links out. As always, make sure that you subscribe, like, comment, follow everything, the stream, not the stream, follow the YouTube and follow the Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. And make sure on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to rate us 5 stars, give us a good rating. Hopefully we've done enough. I think we have always done enough on every episode that we should deserve 5 stars. So yeah, let's get the word out on DWC and let's continue to grow together.
Shameless
We're gonna
plug.
go ahead, gonna go ahead and get into the headlines. I know you guys have been waiting. You see that flag in the back over there for Reed. How we feeling, man?
Well,
How
let's
we
get into
feeling?
our first headline. Let's get the elephant out of the room. So yesterday about 4 p.m., I got on Twitter and I see all of a sudden a post from Mike Florio, which I don't like Mike Florio. And I don't trust him. He is a liar sometimes, but he's been pretty stout about Deshaun Watson and the case and following all the 23 cases that he had against him when he got suspended the first time. So Mike Florio posted that a new case has arose from October 2020, and it's a sexual assault case, and it's a civil lawsuit filed against him. And obviously, not looking good. I read the whole thing. It looked horrible. Like,
Yeah,
completely.
we're not gonna go over the details of that. That
No, we
shit
will not
was
go over the
awful.
details. Indefensible, to be honest with you. There's nothing to even say about it.
Yeah.
It looked horrendous.
Please, please look up the details because the how specific they were, I don't think you could have fabricated any of this.
No, it was bad for sure. And the key with this is, like, there was a bunch of cases brought up, obviously, with the original 23 and a few stragglers here and there, but they settled it, 12-game suspension. And the rule on that ruling was he can't be tried again or suspended again for the same thing that happened with those 23 cases. So the key difference between that case or those cases and this one is that sexual assault and battery is worded in this one, which is completely different from the original 23 cases. So this is a completely new thing, a new case that he can again be looked at by the NFL and suspended, put on the NFL exempt list. And from what I read in the article, it needs to be looked into. I think Goodell needs to do something about it, because if he doesn't, it looks horrendous on the NFL, in my opinion. I don't understand. This could be a blessing in disguise for the Browns, a way out of a contract that hasn't worked out so far. The baggage could all be gone in a blink of an eye if he were to get suspended again. Because in the contracts written, Andrew Berry put a clause in that if he gets suspended again for any other issues that arose in his personal life, that they could void all of the rest of the contract years and cap hit altogether. So ultimately, this is very, like, I'm going to keep in my eye on it because the NFL should be making a statement soon. The Browns denied to make a statement today, so they're obviously aware of it and they're figuring out what's going on. But definitely a problem for the Browns right now.
Y'all are sick.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, yeah, definitely bad. Bad look all around. I mean, the Browns have never been a fan favorite by other teams, by no means. The fans have been assholes. The owner's a dickhead. Like, we do take on a lot of people that have personal issues. We actually just signed Kadarius Toney to the practice squad. So Browns once again didn't read the room. It was literally like an hour after the Deshaun news broke, but yeah. Honestly, my personal thoughts on it are this is where I stand. After game one, obviously game one looked like shit, right? Deshaun looked terrible. He looked like he couldn't process what he was seeing. He was throwing late. He was throwing out of bounds on deep balls. He was bailing out of clean pockets. He got skittish in the pocket is what I saw. Horrible. Whatever. Not making excuses for this guy anymore. To me personally, I feel like I'm willing to give him four games to get it figured out. Past that, well, that was before the case. So let me preference that. Before this case, before this case arose after we lost on Sunday. Yeah. So Monday it came out. I was willing to give him four games, whatever. He hasn't played since week six of last year. Let's just see what he does in four games. If not, let's play Jameis Winston, right? We paid Jameis upwards of $5 to $6 million to come in here anyway. That's a lot for a backup.
Yeah.
Which also makes me think maybe Barry didn't have the most faith in that shoulder surgery. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like maybe he was thinking his arm is actually shot. Who knows? But yeah, I was willing to give him four games. Most Browns fans weren't. You should have seen Twitter after we lost on Sunday. It was a cesspool. Honestly, I was off Twitter the whole day. It is what it is. We lost to a decent team. Yes, it was underwhelming, but it is what it is. It's week one. But I was willing to let him get four games in. Now that the case came out, I'm just kind of over it, to be honest with you. Like, I wouldn't mind if the Browns at this point do the right thing and just bench him themselves and quit putting up with it until the NFL says something and suspends him. Because at this point, like, all you're doing, like, to me, like, I'm willing to give him four games, but, like, even if we give him the four games now, is he going to even play the rest of the year with the NFL looming on another suspension or putting him on the NFL exempt list? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, to me, it's more like you might as well just pull the plug on it, bite the bullet, and you might as well play Jameis. Jameis can win you games. He is league average at QB, in my opinion, and he can win you games. And with the roster that we have, we can't waste the time. We just can't. Get Jameis acclimated, let him play 15 games, and see what happens. That's where I'm at right now.
How far y'all have fallen, man?
I mean, at this point, there's no reason for me to even get into, oh, maybe he can get back to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no point. He played 14 games for us. Could never stay healthy. Even if this case goes away, will Deshaun stay healthy? His shoulder didn't look that great, honestly. I'm not making excuses. He literally, like, some throwing dirt balls still. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else to. At this point, we have the roster to win now. We might as well just put in the best available QB. And if that's Jameis, then do it. Like, bite the bullet. Our cap situation's fine even with Deshaun Watson. Barry's not dumb. He realized what the contract was, and he's been working towards lowering the cap hits in the future. So, I mean, if we have to do it, we have to do it. I know Barry will make the right decision. It's all up to Haslam, though. Like, Haslam, I think, is the one who wanted Deshaun in the first place. So,
yeah,
you never know with owners.
Scumbag wanted a scumbag.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it is what it is at this point. But I think Jameis probably should start, and we should roll with Jameis for the rest of the year because – I think he's a legitimate starter in this league. Like, he could start on probably 10 to 12 teams if you really go down the rosters.
That's just so nasty, bro.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I listen. Y'all can – my true feelings on Deshaun Watson, y'all can catch me at a bar. We can talk about it. I can't say it on YouTube airwaves. We'll definitely get – striked and whatnot, but all I have to say is this man should not be playing in the NFL, not because he's an ass QB, just because he's a terrible human being. And this is coming from Steelers, man. I like what Ben Roethlisberger did. Ben is a terrible human being. I'll always say that. He knows, he's seen me. Readers know me for over a decade. I have never once had any Ben Roethlisberger jersey, nothing, none of that.
Yeah.
I just can't support people like that, no matter what they do. But the only thing, and I was talking to our buddy Jordan about this the other day, I was pro Jameis Winston as well, and he was like, oh, like Jameis Winston throws hella picks. And I was like, I understand that. But at the same time, like, they have a good enough defense that if you throw a pick and you're still like you're up 7 or 3 and you throw a pick, the defense will either get you the ball back or waste enough time. And, you know, the other team will get a field goal that you could still win the game. It's not like,
yeah,
it's not like you're putting a fucking bomb in there. Like,
well, Jameis
Winston can actually throw the ball. You guys have enough, barring, you know, if David Njoku's fine and like is able to come back earlier, the pass catchers you guys have are able to catch the ball, able to catch a Jameis Winston ball, if that makes sense. Like, you don't have, like, Amari Cooper is used to that, like, kind those kind of like throws. I mean, he thrived with Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco's throwing fucking balls.
Oh, Joe Flacco. Like, this is where I'm at with Jameis. Like, a lot of people will disagree with me. A lot of Browns fans will disagree with me, but I liked us getting Jameis was a better decision than us getting Flacco again in free agency. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why people are so. Yes, Flacco put up 3 or 4 300-yard games, but he also threw the most interceptions and the most pick sixes in his time at the Browns in literally like 6 games. So Jameis, and also we got to think about Jameis early in his career was very turnover worthy. Like, he would throw 40 touchdowns and have 30 picks, right?
Yeah.
His last few years in the league, he hasn't been like that.
Yeah.
He's honed in a little bit, and he doesn't throw the balls. Like, Flacco, what did Flacco have to lose? Like, I get why he was throwing the football like that, right?
Yeah.
He's never going to be a starter in this league anymore. Like, he never has that opportunity. But Winston is still young and still has time to improve as a QB. And I think he has the arm talent that Flacco has. He's younger. He's more mobile. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's bigger. Like, I think he legitimately could still be a starter in this league. So I think the Browns made a smart move by getting him. And maybe Barry and Stefanski both, and somewhere in the offseason, had that little thought back there that maybe the surgery isn't going to go well. You know what I mean? And we don't want to be in a situation with PJ Walker again, you know?
Yeah. It's like, and people have to realize, and I think we saw that with Kirk Cousins and a little bit of Aaron Rodgers, just because you have surgery doesn't mean you got like a cyborg leg or a cyborg arm and you're going to be able to like throw it 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, we saw with the Falcons, like literally, why am I blanking on his name? Kirk Cousins couldn't even move in the pocket.
Yeah.
Like, he could not move at all. Like, he was like, if there was any kind of pressure, he's falling down. He couldn't even get like a drop step without, like, you can see just like visibly, like it was, something was wrong.
That was bad.
You know, it's the same thing with shoulders, especially like throwing shoulders. Like, even if you get surgery, you're never going to have that same like velocity and everything, or just the same movement, because everything's different. And it's a mental thing. Like, you had surgery, you sat out. People are, and especially with Deshaun, like, I don't have any sympathy for this man, but like, it is tough with everything that is going on. On top of being on the Browns, on top of having this contract, regardless of how, like, you know, the Browns have been able to maneuver and not let this hit the cap as much, all the people are going to talk about are the numbers. So right, on top of that, it's just like being able to try to put that aside and just play football is impossible. So.
Yeah.
I don't like it. He might just be cooked, and you know, that's fine with me. Like, but he might just be mentally and physically cooked. I mean, his body language on the field, it's just like, and I mean, guys can be emotional, but like, I was just like, dude, like, that brother does not want to be on that field right now. And the one thing I will say about this game is it's not like, and you know, Steelers fan giving Browns fans, you know, a little bit of slack here. Crazy, right? It's not like they played the fucking Panthers. They played a team that we have in high tier. They played the Cowboys. We think the Cowboys are going to make it in playoffs. Either they win the division or they're 5 seed.
Well, it's, I think,
not like they played a bum.
Well, I think this game even validated our tiers, to be honest with you, because we knew what the Browns were but we have questions about the QB position, right? And that's exactly what showed in the game. We couldn't move the ball. And the Cowboys are tier two, they're playoff locks, and they looked about what we thought they would be. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think, not defending Deshaun at all, but if you really look back at all contracts, QB contracts ever, situation, what team they're on, baggage, like who has more pressure on them than Deshaun Watson has had the last 3 years, like ever in the history of NFL. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it weighs on him every fucking day, and he's still getting more cases. We just got a new case today.
Yeah.
If he
told them about this, would that still go in the contract or no?
No. So if this is a case that he let the Browns know, I think it is different. I think it would be, since he let them know and Andrew Berry knew about it, then I think the contract is still unvoidable, basically, because it has to be a case that Barry and the Browns had no clue that it was coming, and it has the opportunity to, like, basically, if there's a case that has opportunity to put Deshaun in a situation where he can't play NFL games anymore and the Browns didn't know about it, that would be the situation where they can void the entire contract.
Gotcha.
But the thing is, and shout out Jack Duffin, the fucking cap genius for the Browns. Like, this man, he doesn't work for the Browns, but he writes articles on the Browns cap situation.
Especially with this, and that better have been in overtime.
Yeah, he's been in overtime with Deshaun's contract for about 3 years now. But he wrote an article yesterday because, I mean, he's the first person I look to if we can void it, right? What would happen? Mm-hmm. He says the most, probably the best situation to do is to, since we already paid Deshaun this year $40 million, if he doesn't get suspended, he's not even talking about the suspension. Like, he's talking just cutting ties with him, whether he gets suspended or not. So at the end of the year, we cut ties, even if we don't void the contract. He said, you might as well just let him play out this year because we already paid him. Right. Yeah. So that's basically where he was going with that. But I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's hard pill to swallow when you paid someone $40 million and to sit him on the bench. Right.
Yeah.
So even if the he Giants gets suspended,
might have to do that shit too.
Exactly. Like, we're not like, I know Deshaun is the worst of the worst human beings, right?
Yeah.
But we're not the only team sitting here looking at a guy that's getting paid $40 million and he's not producing, right? Yeah. Like, the NFL has this problem all over the place, but we're getting the bulk of the shit, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't know, man. It's obviously not how I'd like to start the year. I think this is the best Browns roster I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not overreacting because I still think even with Jameis, we can win 10 to 11 games, right? Like, I'm not out on the Browns. Browns Twitter's like this right now. They're like, season over, we're done, we're the worst team of all time.
Well, if you continue to play Watson, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, and you could be absolutely right. But like I said, I think he has a four-game leash and they're cutting ties. Like, I really do believe that. Kevin Stefanski and Barry aren't wasting this roster. And Haslam wants to win. He shows it by how much money he puts out there and how much cash spending he's doing. So I think all three of them will cut ties sooner rather than later. And, I mean, we'll see what the NFL does. I mean, think if the NFL doesn't do anything about this, that looks bad on them. Yeah, because reading that article was disgusting. I was just like,
they have to do something. But, like,
yes.
My thing on, like, the contract thing, like, it's gonna be both sides are gonna be bad for Deshaun Watson. Like, if they are like, oh, he told us about this, then you are a menace to society. Yeah. If you remember that, and then if you don't remember that, you're a menace to society because you've done so many of these things that you forget. Oh yeah, I remember. Oh yeah, I did do that. Or like, I have no idea what she's talking about. But, like, this is.
Yeah, it was still terrible. Like, yeah, obviously I'm hoping at this point, because I'm just over the situation, I'm over just dealing with this on a week-to-week basis, and the Browns fans are all split. Like, it's constant in-house fighting. People think we're worried about the national media and other fan bases shitting on us. No. I'm more worried about the whole Browns fan base rioting, going into the Browns stadium and just burning it down to the ground at this point, because I mean, honestly, like, you know me, I try my hardest to root for the Browns no matter what the situation is. I was a big fan of Baker when he was there. I defended him. I've tried to defend Deshaun on the field for 2 years now. And like I said, I was willing to give him four more games. But at this point, like, what's the fucking point? You know, what I mean? Like, this case just solidifies I'm over it. Like, it's worn me down. I'm tired of arguing with people. Fuck it. Like, get him off the team. We have a first round pick for the first time in 3 years next year. Let's make the fucking most of it. You know what I mean? Barry's been pretty good in the draft. Like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Fuck it at this point. I'm over it.
Yeah, it's just going to be tough. I mean, that's going to be until you guys like win something, and even then, like, this is just going to be the stain on your already terrible franchise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it couldn't have happened. Like, realistically, us and the Jets making decisions, big decisions. We both think about it. I'm not comparing our situation with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is way better than Deshaun Watson. Don't get me wrong. But if the Jets don't make the playoffs this year and he missed the whole first year, like, we're looking at the Jets and Browns, two of the biggest jokes in the NFL, right, as franchises.
Yeah.
Both wasting $40 million a year on a QB that didn't produce for them. Now, the Jets, to me, like, we have our coach, we have our GM, right? The Jets, when they got Aaron Rodgers, they decided to keep Robert Saleh, get Nathaniel Hackett, and keep a GM that has not been good for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not the only idiots, but yes, we are. And if it gets voided, we only paid Deshaun $80 million. Still sounds terrible. 2 years, $40 million, right? We paid him a million his first year he got there and only played six games. So $81 million, two and a half years. Cut ties, hopefully he gets suspended, and we void the rest of his contract so we don't pay out the $240 million. That's best case scenario. I'm willing to cut ties right now. Just fucking do us a favor.
So what do you want to do? What if you had reign of the
Browns? If I had reign right now and I'm Haslam, I'm pulling the plug, I'm biting the bullet, press conference, owning up to it. I mean, this is where I'm at. Like, I'm pretty fucking reasonable when it comes to this. There was 13 other teams that were willing to sign Deshaun when he first came back to football, right?
Yeah.
We were the one that guaranteed the money, but we weren't the only ones willing to spend a lot to get him back into football, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, we look like the biggest idiots because we paid him, but there was also 13 other teams. So just fucking own up to it at this point. Haslam never will.
Yeah.
But to me, just we're done with Deshaun Watson. We're cutting ties. It is what it is. But at the same time, you can't just do that outright because you need to wait and see what the NFL does. Yeah. So what I would do is probably not cut him yet, because if you cut him, you're not going to get that free money back, right?
Yeah.
So I would probably just announce, like, listen, we're going to do our own personal investigation. He's not allowed to play, and we're going to start Jameis Winston.
That's what I do.
And then you wait. You wait and see. Maybe Haslam goes and pays fucking Goodell and all the other owners. Listen, please look into this and suspend his ass. You know what I mean? But I'm serious, though. Like, do the right thing. Fucking sit him out for your own personal conduct, the Browns' personal conduct. Mm-hmm. Start Jameis Winston the rest of the year and see how it goes. Our roster's too talented to leave it up in the air. If we get – imagine if Deshaun starts playing well. We're fucking 6-3, 9 games into the season, Deshaun's playing well, and then the NFL comes in. You know what I mean? We can't take that risk with this roster. Fucking put Jameis in and run it. Because whatever happens to Deshaun happens. Like, it is what it is. He's not affecting our team at this point.
That's exactly what I do. I'd be like, yo, like, I let the NFL do their thing. I already do our investigation. But this man cannot, with the allegations right now, this man cannot represent what is on, you know, the Browns uniform.
Exactly.
Like, I'd have to put in Jameis. And I'd be like, and 13 other teams were interested. I'm going to do a little prop. 13 other teams. And here's who they are.
Yeah.
No, but, and here's who they are.
Remember, we went to Atlanta to steal him from the Falcons that had him pen to paper over there. Yeah, no. I mean, it is what it is, but. Yeah, I think they should sit him. Jameis should start the rest of the year, and then we go from there. That's where I'm at.
The funny thing, this is my last point. The funny thing about this is not only did Deshaun play ass, like it was ass. We are already clowning the Browns, right? We're already making fun of the Browns. Browns fans, we're already having the Civil War. And then another case came in.
Well, like, honestly, I was
like, what the fuck?
I mean, not to take 25 minutes on the subject, which we are, but it's a big, I mean, this is like one of the biggest headlines we've ever done on this podcast, yeah, to be honest with you. And it just happens to be my team. So, but I really, part of me, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I also don't believe that shit like that gets leaked that easily from NFL teams. So part of me thinks Haslam leaked that. I think Haslam's camp leaked it. I think he was sitting on that case and he leaked it to get Deshaun Watson out and to get the money back. I really do. I don't usually believe in shit like this, but you don't play week one, right? It's not week 12. It's not like we're missing the playoffs. Week one, he looks like that. Fans are already mad. They're booing literally in the second quarter. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the day after, a whole new, brand new case that has nothing to do with the 23 pops up. That's not a coincidence in the NFL. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing is a coincidence in the NFL.
Yeah, because, I mean, realistically, if, say, like, the worst thing that can happen, I don't think this will happen. You guys have been through so much. The worst thing that can happen is the fans stop going to these games.
Yeah.
Because because the city of Cleveland has no revenue if that happens.
Yeah.
So if Haslam just watched that shit and was like, hell no. Yeah. I can't. Because the details, like, if this shit is true, right? Everyone's innocent until proven otherwise. If this shit is true, that motherfucker did it, by the way. If this shit is true, regardless if he told them or not, the details are so, I please, viewers, everything, listeners, please look at these details. The details are so bad that you have to let this motherfucker go.
It's legit. It's indefensible. Like, you can't say anything more, like, and that's why I'm not sitting here like, oh, let's give him four more games. You know what I mean? Like, fuck no. Like, get him off the team at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know whether, like, I don't think we have a locker room problem. I don't. I think our culture has shifted to the point where it's not a problem who's playing QB or this or that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But at this point, it's just a massive stain / issue constantly week to week that, and we know what we have at backup QB, so why not just play him? I'm just
now at that point. Now being a stigma. Like, if you're like, oh, I'm a Browns fan, now people are going to be like,
yeah, oh. And that's part of it, too. It's like, why? Like, the Browns have put Browns fans through enough, and now a lot of Browns fans feel like they can't even root for their own team because of Deshaun Watson. So I'm not one of those people. Like, I'm going to root for my team no matter what. But like I said, we need to probably just sit them and bite the bullet.
I saw, like, people were maybe, like, hinting at your players not liking Deshaun because, like, your offensive lineman didn't want picked up. And I was like, bro, I played line. You played line.
Yeah.
One of those, a specific fall, I don't need help up because it's just going to look bad. You're going to have to carry my weight picking me up. We did the roll around, get up so many times that I don't need help up.
Like, but it was Betonio, and he's literally 40 years old. And I'm sure he's fucking huge. And Joe Thomas even said on Twitter, he's like, no, that's just how linemen are. Like, sometimes they have to be forward and they have to get up themselves. Like, it is what it is.
Like,
I wasn't worried about that. Like, I'm not worried about those fake narratives people throw out there. It is what it is. They're just looking for anything. But that's also part of the reason I'm done with this experiment, because people are just not realistic, or they just come up with these fake ass storylines just to say, oh, we don't have good chemistry in the locker room. Oh, why did Betonio knock his hand away? You know what I mean? Like, I'm over it. Just let's just move the fuck on. It didn't work. It's been 2 years and one game. Let's just move on at this point.
I was done with the Ayuk shit, and that was a month.
Yeah.
A month and a half. I can't imagine y'all are going through.
I did my best with last year. Like, I did really think he was kind of coming alive at the last few games that he played, but, like, he got hurt again. So, like, I can't even, This is the worst case scenario, and I've told all of my friends this. I've told you this. Like, no one even knows if he was going to work out because he never played. He never played. So the contract itself looks shitty because he played 14 games in 2 years. So, I mean, it is what it is at this point. Just fucking put Jameis in.
That shit is nasty. Like, you're like kind of cooking a couple weeks, and then, and it's not like it's a nagging like day to day. No, you just out.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes. If he plays and they lose the Jags, like, it's just gonna be worse and worse. So yeah, we'll have to see what they do, man.
I mean, I'm waiting for the NFL update like any minute now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, they need to investigate that. In other news, only 36 passing touchdowns for week one. I know, and what's funny about this is, like, everybody, and we're all like, bro, it's just week one, bro, it's just week one. And then we all still have our delusions, like, like, we're going to get into, like, our overreactions later, and it's just week one, bro. But, like, I mean, that's what I think, happens in, like, the NFL. I think every year it's different. It's offense is cooking. Next year, defense looks at the film. We adjust. Defense is cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it goes like every 2 years, to be honest with you, because 2 years ago, offense was like an all-time high. Last year, QB play was down. Offensive efficiency was down. And then to start this year, week one looked bad. Like, I don't – I do think, like, the sloppy QB play, some of it has to do with not playing in preseason. I think I saw something. There was like 5 or 6 QBs that didn't play in preseason, and a few of the names were Deshaun, Joe Burrow. I forget the rest. I think Lamar did. Lamar had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, 5 of the 6 had less than 180 passing yards and one touchdown. I was like, damn. I'm not huge on preseason. You need to be playing in preseason. It will get you right for the games. But, I mean, that's pretty bad. Do you think, like, overall QB play has just gone down since, like, Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees? You know what I mean? Or do you think defenses have got that much better?
I think defenses have gotten better. I think the schemes have gotten better. We have a lot of I was talking to Jordan about this the other day. I think evolution in the football world, like, we have, like, the athletes we have on defense now, insane. Remember back in the day, it was middle linebacker was, like, your least athletic. They would just go to the ball. Like, they would be cheese in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. Now we have, and you know this, you have
Owosu.
One of the fastest side to side of linebackers, and he plays middle. I think the athletes, the defensive schemes, and the defensive coaches. I think the defensive coaches and analysts have been really good. And I think, like, when offense was cooking with Patrick Mahomes was hooping, once we put in those two high safeties, that shit shut down so much shit.
Yeah. The underneath stuff.
Yeah. So another stat, like, the usage of running backs has gone up. Like, running back ones has gone up. So I think we're just getting back to the, like, run, pass kind of way, which can be boring. But I think the QBs of now are better than the QBs back then in terms of throw power and just athletic ability. But I think just defenses have gotten better, which is great. Great for our podcast. Defense wins championships, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first year we had this podcast, it was like, Jesus, no defense can stop anybody. But then the last 2 years, it's been pretty solid for defenses. Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, I don't know. It's the thing about football is, like you said, it's year to year. It's week to week. There's so many factors into who plays well, who doesn't play well. Like, Trevor Lawrence didn't have, like, on a stat sheet, a great game, but, like, he made some throws that, like, maybe 3 other QBs in the whole league can make. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, we can shit on it because everyone plays fantasy football or bets on passing touchdowns. And yeah. Oh, we need scoring. But like, I'd rather have games be like 24-21.
Yeah.
Because it still shows like the skill level on defense is good and you're not always going to have that opportunity to score. Because like watching the Saints-Panthers game, did anyone like watching that game?
No.
The Saints scored on 9 straight drives.
Yeah.
And the thing about like if the Panthers defense would have stopped 4 of those drives, like maybe they still had a chance in the game, right? Mm-hmm. But no, we just saw a blowout because 9 straight drives they scored. Even last night in the Monday Night Football game, 49ers scored on 8 straight drives on what we have known as the Jets, supposed to be a top 5 unit in the entire NFL. So like when games are going that way, you just know. Like I knew when the 49ers scored right before half, I knew. I was like, the 49ers are going to come back in the second half, get the ball, and probably score again.
Yeah.
And those types of games are not fun to watch because, like, it's over. Like, I knew it was over when the 49ers scored right out of the half. And it was easy. It was easy. Maybe 1/3 down.
Yeah. It's I'm with you. I'm the same as you, like, the 24-21, because competition breeds excellence. If you see that the defense is knocking the ball out or – getting to the ball faster, the types of throws, like Trevor Lawrence, the types of throws you have to make in order to even convert a 3rd and 5 are going to be crazy, that we're like, oh my God, look at that fucking throw. Like that throw was crazy. Even, I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a terrible game, but with that throw that he had on the sideline to Alan Lazard, oh my God, that fucking throw.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was insane. And I'm with you. Once, and not just the 49ers, just any team. Once a team, if you're gaining 8 yards on your 1st down and 10 run, there's nothing, you know, then I'm like, oh, this is clear. The 49ers are going to win. Because and they're going to win in the most boring fashion. So if you don't stop them, they're just going to run the clock out. And then they are comfortably fine running the clock out and kicking this field goal. Because they know you're going to give the ball right back to them. Yeah. And then they're just going to do the same shit, and the clock's going to keep going. So, I'm here for this shit.
I think we've been just spoiled with so many good close games in the AFC North, because even like there's games I can think of that were just like tension every drive. Like I'd rather have it be like that because it's more exciting. Like the Browns Steelers Monday night game a year ago, like. Both defenses were playing out of their mind. Yeah. And even with the Browns up the whole game, I never felt like it was safe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm sure you felt the same way. Like, when are we going to score? The only time you guys scored was 2 defensive touchdowns and a 89-yard fucking slant route to George Pickens. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that type of – like, make the offense earn it is how I see it. I'd rather the defense make them earn it than just walking down the field and owning the line of scrimmage the entire time. Like – in the Cardinals game this past weekend, yeah, it was an entertaining game. They came back by 14. But, like, if the Bills got in a 3rd and short situation or a 1st and short, 2nd and short, they weren't stopping the Bills at all. Because Josh Allen's just going to run and get the 1st down every single time. So, like, I don't know. I like those games where there's tension, like, every snap.
Yeah.
And once the Bills took the lead, I never felt like the Cardinals were going to get it back. No. So. Oh no, I'm okay with the QB play being down. I am. Like, I actually am. I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm with it.
I'm as well, because now they're gonna stop like hyping these QBs up. Not naming any names, but like we put a lot of them on the pedestal.
Hey, maybe
of elite. And now you're gonna have to show us.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to show us. Cause once you start losing games. They'll hate you fast. If you start losing games, boy, they will call for your number.
I think it was something like 17 of the 32 QBs had a negative EPA per pass play this weekend. And maybe Brady was right. I think last year in an interview, he said QBs have gotten worse in terms of like mechanics and stuff like that. He said they don't teach them as well anymore. And they're always looking for like the big play and stuff like that. So I don't know.
I mean, that's been the analysis for Justin Fields the whole time.
Yeah.
He never takes the short stuff.
Yeah.
But now we're going to get into who should be more concerned going into week two. Bengals, Browns, Falcons, Jaguars, and Jets.
Do you want to start off or do you want me to?
I'll start off. I'm going to rank them. I'm going to rank mine.
Okay.
All right. Going into week two, I think number one concern should be the Bengals.
Okay.
And I'll give my analysis on that after I rank these. Number one, Bengals. I think right out of the gate, the Falcons and Jets. I think it's Bengals, Browns, Jets, Falcons, and Jaguars. Those are my rankings. Now, if these people lost, my week two would be like flipped around. But Bengals are my number one because if you lose to the Chiefs, which a lot of people have you losing to the Chiefs, spoiler alert, I do, he does. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like not only can you not beat, because the Bengals, you know, they're fans of high expectations. You know, this is T's last year, Jamar is, you know, another year. Joe Burrow's back, hopefully fully healthy for the sport of football and for the Bengals fans. Because we don't wish injuries. I want people to be healthy because if you're healthy and you're ass, there's no excuses for you. So if the Bengals, not only can the Bengals not beat the best of teams, because you have to be at some point, unless you know the Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, you have to face the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So if you can't beat the Chiefs and you're losing to ass teams, that is a cause of concern. You already lost the ass team, so you need to beat the good team, the best team. So if you lose to both, where do you rank yourself? Because you lost to both. And then the Browns. The Browns is just a whole dishonest thing. The Browns and I have the Browns ranked over the Falcons, but the Browns and the Falcons have the same kind of thing for me. So the Browns and the Falcons are like, if they lose week two, when are we putting in their respective counterparts? So for the Falcons, when are you putting in Michael Penix? And for the Browns, when are you going to put in Jameis Winston? And then for the Jets, it's just about how do we bounce back from the 49ers? Because it's the same thing as the Browns that I say. Like, you lost to a team that in me and Reed we have in our tier two. And the Jets lost to a team that's in our tier one, Super Bowl. I think the 49ers have done enough, showed me enough in week one already. I know it's an overreaction, but I mean they were in the damn Super Bowl. Week one already, that they're gonna be that they're the buying favorite to be in the Super Bowl. So you lost to one of the two best teams. So how can you bounce back and beat up a bad team? It's like the opposite of the Bengals. And then the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are just going to see how their wins stack up to Trevor Lawrence was worth this money. And then the Jaguars have good tests because they're going against the Browns. If they can score on this Browns defense, regardless if – because it's like if Watson gives you the interceptions, if they give you the interceptions, you still have to score. I mean, the Falcons gave the Steelers interceptions – and we scored field goals. Like, you have to go score touchdowns. So that's my rankings. You go ahead with yours.
I would say I'm most concerned. See, like, my concern level with the Browns isn't that high for one reason only. And that's because of the fact that we won 11 games without Deshaun last year. We didn't know what situation was. Our team is still good enough to win games, and if we get a guy that's just average in there, I think we can still win 10 to 11 games. So I probably have them on the lower half, around four. It's just, when are we gonna cut ties with Deshaun basically at this point? So and it's funny, the Jags and Browns play each other this week, so one of those could get a little bit less concerned. Jaguars I'm concerned about a lot, and the only reason I say this is because they're losing in the same fashions that they lost the last like seven games last year. Like, they're always in the game, but just mental errors by their coach, whether that be going forward on fourth and three on your own 30 when you're up three, or like the team just fumbles in the end on ETN. Like, I don't know what it is about them, but they can't finish games. And it's been a trend in Doug Peterson's whole tenure there. So I would say I'm a little bit more concerned with them. I would probably have the Jaguars at two, to be honest with you. Man, the Bengals are a hard one. Like, I went into this thinking I wasn't too concerned because they do this every year. You know what I mean? But they don't do this. They don't do this against the Patriots, who are the third worst team in football. And they also, I heard all offseason that this is the first healthy preseason in camp that Joe Burrow went through. And I'm a big believer in the fact that, like, if you have your starting QB and you have a supposed top five QB in the league, you should be able to beat a team where you're a minus 300 favorite on the odds at home. It's not like you went there. And it's not like the Patriots put on a barn burner, scored 16 points. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm a little more concerned about them. I think probably number one, I'm with you on that one. Like, losing to the Patriots at home week one with a healthy Burrow, not a great look. I know you didn't have T. Higgins and Jamar was a late play, but, like, is that really enough? Is that really enough? Like, Zach Taylor has shown nothing for me in the first 5 weeks of the season ever to make me think that he's a decent coach.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. Like, I don't get it at all. And if I'm a Bengals fan, like, I'm mad. I'm mad. Yeah. I'm mad. That was a piss poor showing. It looked like they didn't want to be there.
At their home field.
I mean, the fans have been waiting all offseason to see you week one play, and you have a layup, and you lose the game. It's not like last year where you went to the Browns.
Yeah.
And the Browns defense is shutting you out. You know what I mean? Like, and you're not, you already don't have a good track record against the Browns. A lot of Bengals fans penciled that in as a loss anyway. You know what I mean? This is the fucking Patriots. So I'd probably have the Bengals one, Jaguars two. I'm not liking what I'm seeing with the Jaguars. Browns at three. I'm like a medium level of concern with them. Like, I really do think Jameis can still win us 10 games. Roster's really good. Schedule's not easy though. So
no.
Who else do we have with the, the Falcons probably four. What they need to do, in my opinion, is sit Kirk Cousins for another four or five games, and they just need to play Penix, right? Like, that's how I see it. I think Penix needs to be playing. You just need to eat whatever that record is. And they're in an easier division. They should be able to scrape a few wins out. They're in the NFC. Even with Penix playing, I think that's what they need to do. Play some good defense. Score. Don't turn the ball over. And sit Kirk until he's actually healthy. Like, that's the only option you have. So I still think they can turn it around. Really bad first showing, but obviously Kirk Cousins wasn't himself. And then I have the Jets last. I mean, losing to the 49ers at the 49ers, that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's kind of like the Browns losing to the fucking Cowboys. Like, yes, we were at home, but still, that's a good team you lost to. It is what it is. The game, the only thing I'll say about the Jets, I'm actually more concerned with their defense than I am their offense.
Yeah.
In terms of just getting bullied at the line of scrimmage, and Purdy, I mean, he looked good too. I don't know. I truly think the one thing that you could rely on the last 2 years is the defense for the Jets.
Yeah.
But I know it's the 49ers. They have a good O-line. They have a good run game. Shanahan's one of the best play callers. But, like, we haven't seen the front seven of the Jets get moved like that in a long time. So that, to me, is the most concerning part. But I think Rodgers was just rusty. He hasn't played in a year. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's still doing some crazy throws. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
So that's probably my list right there.
I'm the same on you and the Jets. Like, you know how I feel. You know what I always say. If you are the head coach and you are the coach and you're the coach of one side of the ball, it is unexcusable for you to be ass on that side of the ball.
Yep.
So, yeah, Sauce had a great job. Did a great job, but, like, if you can't, there's nothing a corner can do if your dudes are fucking 4 or 5 yards in the backfield and then Jordan Mason's is running between the tackles. So,
I mean, never played a game in his life, had 150 yards on you on 28 carries. They didn't even feel the need to pass at all.
Yeah.
That was an embarrassing show. I'm not going to lie. Because everyone was like, oh, yeah, this should be a low-scoring game, and they shouldn't be able to run the ball. Purdy's going to have to put them on their back. Well, they don't even need CMC. CMC didn't even play. Their best player on offense didn't even play. And they got rolled, absolutely rolled. But like I said, week one, Rodgers rusty. Like, it's just the coaching staff. Like, I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. They've shown me nothing. Robert Saleh is like 17 and 34 as a head coach in the NFL. If I got Rodgers, I'm pairing him with someone, a young offensive mind. But no, you know how it is with Rodgers. He's going to take everyone that he's ever worked with, and he's going to bring them with him that he liked.
Yeah. Some yes men. We could be some – there could be multiple imploding franchises.
Yeah.
Coming up.
No doubt.
And we're going to get into our overreactions of week one.
This should be fun. Let's just go one at a time. We'll both go.
So my first one is my overreaction. I know we picked against them. My overreaction is the Saints. We saw – I had a lot, you know, a lot of questions about the Saints. I still have questions
about them. Actually, that was one of mine too, so I'll just roll with that one. We can just talk about it.
I still have questions about the Saints. But Alvin Kamara looked fine in the backfield. Derek Carr, and that shit was funny. I was texting, Derek Carr playing like his life on the line. And you're like, because it is. Because his life is on the line.
You got to think this is it for him, right?
Yeah.
If he doesn't do well, this is it.
Yeah. They completely handled, this is what you're supposed to do. Bengals, take notes. This is what you're supposed to do. When you're a high favorites against a team, or like in totality, not necessarily on the odds, but in totality, you should smoke them.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the last time I've seen the Saints score 40 plus points. It was on all cylinders that they were hooping. And Saints, you know, this division is ass. And the shit we just seen with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it's wide open now. I truly, I'm with you. I think the Saints have a real chance at the division. And call it an overreaction. They played the worst team in football. Don't get me wrong, but they like didn't just play them and beat them. They owned them in every facet. Like there was never a single moment from kickoff that I thought the Panthers were in that game. Not a single one. That's how you come out a season opener and get people excited for the season, right? Like that's how you do it. And Carr did look great. The receivers look good. The defense looked good. I don't know. I'm with you. I think they have a real shot at the division now.
You go ahead with your brother.
So I'm gonna start with, I think Doug Peterson gets fired halfway through the season.
Fired is crazy.
I think he does. I think he's a little bit. I really do. This is once again unfortunate for Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think Doug Peterson helped Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he was a step up from Urban Meyer, right?
Yeah.
I just think the game management and the situational awareness. And just the fact that he's given up so many 10-point leads and stuff, like, at some point it has to crumble, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep doing this. I mean, the Jaguars started, what, like 6-2 last year?
Yeah.
They were leading the division, and they lost, like, 7 straight games. That's, like, that's a collapse right there. And starting off the year how they just did, where they were up the whole game until the middle of the third quarter, I don't know. I think he gets fired. I do. They have to get someone for Trevor Lawrence. They have to.
Yeah, I'm praying. Because then it just makes him look bad. I'm like, bro, I swear to God, bro, Trevor Lawrence is not bad. It's just, yeah, they just have the worst fucking luck. My second one. We'll see sooner or later that Michael Penix will be playing NFL football. Kirk Cousins looked fucking awful. And we don't know. It's like you forget like all the added factors. Like when you have that kind of injury, the brother's like 80 years old, bro. And he was already a statue. So at some point, they might have to look into for you know Kirk's own sake and saving him. They might have to look into starting Michael Penix.
So, do you think it's going to be like a he starts until Kirk is healthy, or do you think he takes over because
Kirk I think he takes over because Kirk isn't the same.
So like say they do what I said and they sit Kirk for five games and Penix is like going off. Like we're thinking about not even putting Kirk back in there.
You did give him that money though, man.
That's the thing. And I said earlier, it's a hard pill to swallow. Are you gonna sit Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Deshaun Watson with all that money that they're already guaranteed? It's a hard pill
to swallow. I mean, we have to assume that Michael Penix is Raheem Morris's guy.
I know. Well, they drafted him with a pick they should have probably gone the other way with, right? But maybe they were right. Maybe
Kirk Cousins might not be Raheem's guy.
You know, maybe they also had an inkling that Kirk Cousins was not going to be healthy by the start of the season. So they drafted him at 7. I mean,
I'm just saying.
So interesting.
Just saying.
So that pick does not look bad anymore, like by any means. Like they need him to play.
Yeah. Kirk moving like that will lose you games.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't go anywhere. And against the Steelers, pass rush was always good. Like, I mean, it looked like they were never going to move the football.
No.
Crazy world.
Let's see yours.
I'm going to go. My next overreaction is, you can call me a homer or what. I'm going to say the Bengals aren't getting out of this early season slump this year, even with Joe Burrow healthy.
Ooh.
I honestly think this feels different. Like, I don't think their defense has the depth they need.
Mm-hmm.
I do think their offensive line got better, but T. Higgins is going to miss next week also.
Mm-hmm.
When's he coming back? Hamstring injury, they linger for a while. Yeah. Is he ever going to be 100% on the season anyway? I don't think the Bengals commit to the run enough. I don't think they do.
Mm-hmm.
They have the easiest schedule in the AFC North, but nothing about that first game gives me confidence that they're going to bounce back, like, at all. I just don't see it this year.
Man.
You can't start, like, to me, what the Steelers are really good at is not starting from behind, right? Like, they never are. They're always either, like, right there or they're above 500, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes them so dangerous, because they're always fucking there lingering. They're always there. And that's what happened last year. They were right there. The Bengals started slow and then Burrow got hurt and they just couldn't make up the difference, right?
Yeah.
I just think, I don't know, man. The Steelers and the Ravens, even the Browns, if they play Jameis, like, I don't know if they'll be able to get out and come back from that deficit again. 4 years in a row starting off this slow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then was that three for you?
That was three. I had the Saints also.
So my last one might be the biggest one.
Overreaction.
Biggest overreaction. Caleb Williams will not win Rookie of the Year.
Okay. I can see that. That was
That game was horrendous.
That game was bad. Who do you think's going to win it then? Did you think about, like...
I think it's going to be, like, the randomest skill player. Okay. I think... if
Brian Thomas Jr.?
He's on my team.
He looked good.
He looked good. I think Caleb Williams, this will get taken over. If Jaden McDaniels is doing... like, if he wins this game... week two, and he's doing his thing, like scoring rushing touchdowns and passing touchdowns. I can also see that. And I just don't think the race is as Caleb Williams heavy as people think it is.
Okay.
I think especially with the 93 yards, and it's not like the Titans have just like lockdown defense. And I was looking at the schedule. They play tough games. Not they don't play a lot of like easy outs. So,
I think he's going to struggle this weekend too. Sunday night football. I'm with you. I'm with you. That was not a good showing from him week one. I mean, you don't really expect much from rookies week one, but that's why we call it an overreaction.
Those were our overreactions, and you can go ahead and get in. We're going to get into some of the notable injuries. Go ahead and list them off.
Yeah, so we had a lot of big injuries, actually. So a few, we're going to start with the biggest ones. So Jordan Love, at the end of the game, sprained his MCL against the Eagles on Friday night. Now, they're not ruling him out as of right now. Mm-hmm. They're saying they're going to give him a chance and see what happens. To me, that sounds like a mistake because it's a long season. MCL is usually, what, 3 weeks? 3 to 4 weeks, especially
brother, that shit looked cooked.
Yeah, but it's just a sprain, so nothing tore. He doesn't have to have surgery. So to me, why would you risk it in the first 4 weeks of the season and play him? We've seen this before. The Browns did this with Baker. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? This could ruin your entire season. And it's not like he's going to be as mobile as he was with a sprained MCL. So I think it's all smoke and mirrors. I think LaFleur is just playing the media, and I think Willis is going to start. But yeah, I don't like him even mentioning, oh, we're going to let him try it out. That just seems ridiculous to me.
No, you got lucky enough that it was just this injury. When we saw the zoomed in video, brother, I thought he was cooked.
I thought he was too. I was like, oh, season over. Packers are done.
It is done. I mean, that shit popped out of the knee pad.
Yeah.
That shit was hooked.
Yeah, that was really bad.
I was like, oh my God. I was literally like, oh, I literally was like, yo, because Reed's the Packers correspondent here. And I was like,
I picked him in the Super Bowl and MVP, Jordan Love. So
I was like, oh, I was like, done.
I was like, we are done for.
It is done, boy.
Yeah, I think they need to let him sit, heal, come back, see what your record is in 4 weeks, and then go from there. Like, there's no reason to rush it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it'll definitely be 0-4. But yeah, you gotta just sit it out.
You have to sit it out. Like, I know you don't want to start 0-4, but like, you can come back from that, I promise. Like, it is what it is.
In the NFC, you can come back from it.
Yeah, like, you're not playing in the AFC North. It's fine. Like, you're going to be okay. The next one I have that kind of went under the radar is Josh Allen hurt his non-throwing wrist on Sunday. Not many people are talking about it. It was on his second rushing touchdown, or maybe his only rushing touchdown. It came late in the third quarter where he jumped over Buda Baker and landed on his wrist. They say they're taking it day to day. Obviously, non-throwing hand, he should be okay, but a little bit of concern there for one of the better QBs in the NFL. So not good news for the Bills there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think he'll probably be okay. He's a tough dude. He said he's not going to jump over anybody anymore. So that's
that brother's lying.
He is lying. He's a very physical QB.
He's lying.
I mean, we've seen him, like, even when he had that shoulder issue, what was it, last year, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
he still played through it, so I don't think a wrist to his opposite throwing hand is gonna affect him much, to be honest. He's going to play through it. They just have to be careful that he doesn't break it or sprain it even more than it already is. So it'll be wrapped in some type of way.
No, I mean, he's cooked. It's just like Cam, bro. It's like, you can say like you're not gonna do shit, but like, bro, I saw you hurdling people. Like,
yeah,
that's just who you are. And you're gonna just leads to that kind of consequence. You know, it's not like you're like 5'11". Like, you a big ass motherfucker doing this shit. So
yeah, definitely not ideal. But yeah, he's gonna play the way he's gonna play. He's physical. He's gonna run the ball. It is what it is. I think that one went a little under the radar because it is just his opposite hand, but still something to watch out for because, I mean, he gets significantly hurt and the Bills team is looking really bad because the defense did not show up on Sunday. No. So let's get into the next one. Puka Nacua is headed to IR, and maybe they played him a little bit too early. We heard there was a knee injury that he had in camp. It's just a re-aggravated injury. They're putting him on IR. They're doing the smart thing. They're putting him on IR, and they're letting him heal for the later half of the season. So that's big news, especially for fantasy owners. I actually have him in one league. He's my second pick, so he'll be going to IR. Great. Do you have anything else to add on that one?
No, I mean, just that Puka Nacua, I mean, that's the reason why he was at Colorado State. I mean, he's always had injury history, so.
Yeah.
It's better to just shut that shit down and let it heal before that shit can get worse.
Yeah, no doubt. Panthers news, it gets worse for Panthers fans every day. Their best defensive player, Derek Brown, is probably done for the year. They haven't said officially, but he is getting surgery on a knee injury, and that usually means they are shutting it down for the entire year. So your best defensive tackle, best overall defensive player, is now out, and I don't know how you're ever going to stop the run. So,
yeah, Panther fans, I feel bad for you. You lost the only defensive player that anybody knows. So y'all are cooked. I mean, you couldn't stop the run anyway. I just run it to the opposite side of him.
Yeah,
but I mean, I feel bad for y'all, man.
There's absolutely zero good news for the Panthers fans. And I'm sorry.
I feel so bad for y'all, man.
There was two notable tight end injuries in the same game, actually. David Njoku and Jake Ferguson, both got injured. Njoku has a high ankle sprain and don't expect him to start this week, but it could be 3 to 6 weeks before he plays again. They said it's day to day, but let's just not risk it. Week one. Yeah. Also, Jake Ferguson has a bone bruise and MCL sprain, just like Jordan Love. He said himself that he's good to go for this week, probably, which is absolutely ridiculous. Sit out. You're one of the biggest pieces on their offense. You need to sit out and just wait. You know what I mean? I don't think he should be playing either. But those are two notable tight end injuries.
Both of them shouldn't be playing. Jake Ferguson, again, we're lucky because that shit looked awful too. We're lucky that that just got off 3 to 6, like potentially, or like whatever, yeah. 4 weeks. Like it looked terribly worse. And Njoku shouldn't play either, especially with that kind of player that he is. He's going to need that kind of mobility. I mean, once you move like that, you just tend to move very top heavy. Yeah. So if you don't have that kind of mobility in your ankle that you can like cut and stuff, you're just going to be falling down.
Yeah, and this isn't like a receiver. Like these guys are big. Like a lot of weight is getting put on those knees and the ankles. Like just not a good idea to play at all. Like I don't see why there's any reason to do it. But these are the types of injuries that we see, and who is good at roster management and who isn't. Because right now, the Browns should be looking at 3-4 different guys that are not on teams or on practice squads to sign in place of Njoku right now. And same with the Cowboys. I don't know what their depth looks like at tight end, but they should be looking for replacements or depth to fill that spot until he gets healthy. Whether Jake Ferguson says he wants to play or not, it's never smart, ever. Mm-hmm. And the last one we have is McCaffrey was a late scratch for Monday Night Football, which no one knew about until about an hour and a half before the game. Absolutely insanity. But Adam Schefter also said that he's unlikely to play next week. So did they know going into this game that they were going to sit him the whole time?
Yeah, Jordan Mason's a fucking idiot. You just need to get – that's what I was – thank God for you reminding me that. For, like, reporters, if you just keep these brothers talking, man – They will say shit they're not supposed to be saying. I think he's just right on the high, got a $150 and a touchdown, and was just yapping. And you shouldn't have said that shit. I mean, you kind of just pissed off a whole bunch of people by saying that shit. But yeah, I mean, the 49ers are doing the same thing. Like, you guys smoked the Jets with Jordan Mason. It is unfortunate because Elijah Mitchell is also – is on season-ending IR. So,
dude, is Elijah Mitchell ever healthy?
No.
Unfortunate.
So we're going to need a backup to the backup to the backup.
yeah, he's a...
depending on how late McCaffrey's going to be out. I mean, Jordan Mason isn't the most, like, durable guy either. So we might have to sign up. Maybe they'll have some tryouts.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Like, do you think – was there a miscommunication between Shanahan and Mason? Or was Mason just, like, inexperienced at press conferences and just shouldn't have said anything?
I think he was just yapping, bro.
Okay.
And he probably going to have to go do hit-its or something.
A lot of people are mad at Shanahan for, like, a miscommunication. But, like, a lot of the times when that happens, I feel like the player is just in the wrong usually.
Yeah, they're literally still on the adrenaline and they just say some things they're not supposed to be saying.
Yeah. I didn't even know I was, like, they just bring it up. I will
Shanahan say, told me Friday. I was like, bro, what the fuck? Why would you say that?
Before we move on to the net for our best bets and lock of the week, I did just get an update from the NFL for the Browns. It says the NFL doesn't plan to place Browns QB Deshaun Watson on commissioner's exempt list in light of new civil lawsuits stemming from a 2020 allegation. Since there have been no criminal charges and the league's review has just begun. It says we are reviewing the complaint and we'll look into the matter under the personal conduct policy. So they're just now starting the investigation on him. As of right now, no exempt list for him.
Okay.
So we'll see what they find.
What are you hoping they find?
I'm hoping they find something.
Say, get this man off my team.
Yeah, so that is the latest news for Deshaun Watson. Will he get put on the exempt list and suspended? We shall see. Now on to our best bets. We were 2-for-2 on our best bets. First week of the season, I had Cardinals -7.5, and Bo had the Lions at -4.5. Both were very close at the end, but a lock is a lock for a reason, and they won. So,
hey, yeah, we're so not losing y'all money no more.
Our dog of the week, let's talk about it before we put up our slide here. Our dog of the week was the Titans at +154, and they absolutely sold a disgusting game. That I don't ever want to talk
about.
Bag.
We had it in the bag, bro. It was 17-3. We were like, bro, are we about to go 3-for-3?
Like 17-3 at halftime. It was 17-0 before a turnover late in the second half that gave the Bears a fucking field goal. But that was the story of the game in the second half. The Titans couldn't move the football, and they blocked punt for a touchdown, pick six for a touchdown. Numerous field goals because of fumbles. Like, I think
Will Levis means.
Yeah, Will Levis legitimately got on his hands and knees after he threw the ball to the defense to lose the game. So that just sums up our dog of the week. I thought we had it in the bag. They clearly.
We did have it in the bag. They sold. We had that shit hook and line sinker. They sold.
Absolutely sold us. I don't get it. I don't get it.
But let's go ahead and get into our picks. We will be throwing it on the screen.
No, now. Do the bets first.
Let's go into the bets. We'll be throwing it on the screen now. Audio listeners, these will be posted on Twitter and on Instagram. So check those out. But for YouTube guys and gals, they'll be thrown on now. Bets of the week.
I know.
We're going to go with the dog. I'm going to talk about the dog of the week first because, man, we were discussing this for like 40 minutes.
We
if
could
you
not
guys decide. And do not, if this does not hit, don't cuss us out because I'll smoke y'all. Listen, this week is ass, man. This week is ass. For any dogs, this shit is ass. The only teams is the teams that are dogs are either not going to be dogs anymore or you're the Browns or the Broncos. So fucking work with us, man. This is what we got, bro. This is what we got. The team that scored 6 fucking points in week one. This is what we have right here.
Yeah, we discussed numerous things. A lot of teams are on the road coming off a bad first game. And there's a lot of +200 odds here. We discussed the Buccaneers at one point. We discussed the Bengals because they like to beat the Chiefs. We think the Buccaneers can keep it close. We don't think the Buccaneers can win, though. That's the thing. We looked at the Bills and Rams, who are sitting at plus money right now. But we do think those lines are going to flip. We think the Bills will be the favorites by the time Sunday comes around. And we also think the Rams probably will be as well. I do think with the showing that the Giants had, I think this line might slide a bit more in our favor for plus odds. So if you want to wait, I think this will go up to like +130.
Yeah,
get to number.
They are playing the Commanders in Washington.
Yeah, so the they're playing the Commanders. Horrendous defense by the Commanders. Not saying Daniel Jones will take advantage of that. Yeah. I mean, this is a real tell for the Giants. If they lose this game, I really think the season is they're getting the number 2 pick. I really do.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You can go.
I mean, if you lose the Sam Darnold and then you lose the Jaden McDaniels, you should probably be sitting next to me on the bench.
Yeah.
So
this
Drew Lock time.
This could be very well they're losing at halftime and Drew Lock comes in and wins the game. Like this very well could be that.
So yeah, man.
No way Dable's gonna
slack.
No way Dable's gonna sit there and be like, you know what? Fuck this. My job is in jeopardy. I'm putting Drew Lock in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not gonna take it laying down, so
cut us some slack, y'all. If this was spreads, man, we would have had this shit done in like 5 minutes. All right.
Yeah.
This is winners.
Yeah.
And then our locks of the week are the Colts alternate -2.5 and the Seahawks -3.5. Seahawks are playing the Patriots and the Colts are playing the Packers. Guys, this will be dropped today. I need y'all to lock these in now. These are only going to get worse odds. Jordan Love news drops, because you should not be playing this fucking game. Once the Jordan Love news drops, this shit will be dropping. And then once people wake up and go, Seahawks are only -3 against the Patriots, this shit will be dropping.
Yeah.
So lock these in now, y'all. Please. You can wait on the Giants thing.
But yeah, wait on the Giants. I will say for the Colts line, I could see this getting up to 5-6 points by the time that Jordan Love gets announced that he's not playing. Willis is not the answer. He's not going to be good. The one thing that concerns me, the only thing I thought about with the Packers and Colts here was the D-line looked bad for the Colts and they got pushed around by the Texas offensive line. And I know LaFleur can run the ball. So there will be moments in time where the run game looks good for the Packers because he is one of the best run scheme coaches in the league. But too much firepower for the Colts on offense. And their defense did not do well against the Eagles week one.
I mean, Willis got sacked on a Hail Mary, so, you know.
Yeah, I even went safer with the alt line, just making it 3 points. I've won a lot of money off this last weekend, so I think if you put a decent chunk on this, I think they...
Yeah, this man below me, that's the money guy. That's the money man right there, bro. He helped.
I had a very, very good weekend in NFL. But, yeah, I think both these lines, like you said, are going to move by the time people wake the fuck up and start looking at lines, so... No way the Patriots do it 2 weeks in a row. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They scored 16 points. The Bengals defense or offense was asleep the entire game. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Seahawks are going to go into that game like that. So that's where we're at with the locks of the week. Yep. Lock those fuckers in. Let's go four for four to start the year.
Lock them in.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to go with our picks. You see me. I'm up 3. You know how we do, man.
Not a good week for me.
Starting off early, man. You know, this man was a hater, picked against the Steelers. Like, what are we doing here? We had to lock it in. 6 field goals. Tight shit. Tight shit.
I'm reverse cursing you this week.
That's what we're down to. Reverse cursing.
You're lucky I didn't pick the Jags, too.
Yeah, man. Your fandom still got you fucked up.
I have a few questions about your picks, though.
Uh-huh.
Why do you keep picking the Dolphins over the Bills? When does this ever work out for you?
Hey, I'm picking them in September in Miami.
Listen.
We're going to be straight.
I don't know, man.
September in Miami. This isn't December. All right? This is September in Miami. Sun is still shining. It's going to be shining on them because of that Miami architecture. Shout out Miami. We're going to be fine. All right? Tua Tagovailoa. 300 yards.
Oh, I'm sure he's getting 300.
3 passing touchdowns.
I'm with it on that.
We're locked in, bro.
Bills defense looked like cheese, I'm not going to lie. So they kind of locked in the second half, but still, like the Cardinals were moving the football. So,
yeah.
I hope I do better this week, but I'm picking the Cardinals this week too. So,
yeah, I mean, guys, like, these picks are going to look similar this week outside. Like if Reed wasn't a Browns fan and not fucking stupid, he would have picked the Jaguars. But like, you know, this week is ass, y'all. I'm not going to lie.
Some
shit has to happen for the notable games to happen next week for a podcast. These games are ass. This is like college football. Ass.
It's unfortunate because week one was so good. Like every primetime game was like down to the wire. 1 o'clock games were all good matchups. I swear every game was going into the red zone witching hour. Mm-hmm. This week is not. There's big lines, big spreads. I'm like, this is not great. This is not great at
all. Y'all gonna have to parlay money lines to try to get some sort of plus money.
Yeah, and because
this shit is ass, y'all.
This is one of the weeks, though, that the NFL shows that no one's safe from a loss. Like, this is literally one of those weeks. It's just like last year when fucking Purdy lost to the Vikings. Like, anything can happen.
Yeah. Scandal's about to eat, y'all, because everybody that's like, oh, bro, the Patriots did it. Why can't the Panthers? Y'all going to lose money.
Yeah,
y'all going to be asking your mama and daddy for rent money. Be smart. Go with our picks, all right? Put your paycheck on our picks.
Yeah.
If they don't hit, don't come find me, though. But they will hit. We're going to double y'all rent money. We got y'all. On God. So for the audio listeners, for the Dolphins and Bills game Thursday night, I have the Dolphins, Reed has the Bills. For the Cowboys, who are the fucking Cowboys playing?
They're playing the Saints.
Oh, yeah, we both got the fucking Cowboys.
Yeah.
After the Cowboys, I mean the Saints put up 47. Yeah, brother, give me the Cowboys, please. After the Saints put up 47, I'll take the Cowboys.
If it wasn't at home, the Saints might be our dog of the week.
Not my dog. Anyways, the Buccaneers and the Lions. We both picked the Lions. The Colts and the Packers, we both picked the Colts. Like we said, lock in that alt line now, y'all. Lock in that alt spread because the shit is going to get out of hand once they say that Jordan Love is not playing, which they should. Like, this is one of those that, like, it's a no-brainer.
You need to get this in before Wednesday, when they announce that Jordan Love hasn't practiced.
Exactly. 49ers and Vikings. We both picked the 49ers. I mean, come on now. Seahawks and the Patriots. We both pick the Seahawks. Giants and the Commanders. Y'all, we're going with the Giants, y'all. We're going with the Giants. The Chargers and the Panthers. We're going with the Chargers. The Jaguars and the Browns. I have the Jaguars and Reed has the Browns. This brother is sick, y'all. Get this man help. Better help. Get this man help, please. Ravens and the Raiders. We're going with the Ravens. I mean, I not wouldn't have close. This line is minus 500. Like, when?
Yeah.
That's nine how and bad a half this point
spread.
Is,
I think it will get worse. I think the spread will get worse.
Yeah. It's going to be ass. The Rams and the Cardinals. I have the Rams. Reed is the Cardinals. For which is crazy, y'all. I'm just saying, y'all, right now, the amount of shit this man was talking about the Cardinals, y'all Cardinals fans, this dude was
hold on,
this man talks so much shit about y'all.
Hold on. I just want to say that I speak objectively about the Cardinals every year, and it sounds like I'm talking shit, but I was absolutely right. The last Cliff Kingsbury year was the first year we did our podcast.
I said
less than 7 wins, did I not?
Yeah, you did.
And they did, and then Cliff Kingsbury got fired. Last year, I said they'd be the worst in the division, but I also said they'd be a little feisty, which they fucking were. And this year, I have now taken the Cardinals at the Bills to cover 6.5, and I'm picking them to beat the Rams, who I've been high on for the last 2 years. So I think the Cardinals are steadily getting better. You just caught me at a time where I thought they were the worst team in the league.
Are you the Cardinals correspondent here on the podcast?
I just like
to think take the reins.
I just like to think I have been honest about the Cardinals, and I've been majorly right about the Cardinals and who they are as a team. So don't hate me for telling you the truth 3 years ago. You gotta, and now, like, I'm picking your team over the Rams, who I have picked a lot.
You are the Rams correspondent.
I have officially now picked the Rams to lose in both games to start the year.
We gotta see, you know, like a list of the correspondents, like us and then our correspondents.
Yeah,
you can definitely have the Rams, and I just want to say, like, got the Cardinals.
I shouldn't get shit on for the Cardinals takes when I was right. Like, it is what it is at this point. They said that shit.
What? Yeah, you said that shit week one. You was locked in.
I was locked in on the Cardinals. If I was right about anything, it's been the Cardinals this whole time we've been doing this podcast.
You could have been making bank.
Yeah.
Steelers at the Broncos. We both picked the Steelers, even though this man was trying to talk about the Broncos underdog pick.
I'm just saying odds-wise, it made sense to pick either the Broncos or the Browns. I'm not saying how I feel about the Steelers, because I have PTSD from playing you two times a year, is I think you can beat anyone in the league. So, and the way you guys win just frustrates me, and I feel like it's always going to happen that way.
I feel like it frustrates everybody.
It does, because even you guys Steelers win, and no one else can win that way. You guys are the only team.
Chiefs and the Bengals, we both picked the Chiefs. We were talking about this one too, potential, you know, underdog pick. We weren't serious, though. We weren't picking the fucking Bengals.
Just history was brought up that you guys have beat the Chiefs. But, you know, you guys look bad.
And irrelevant shits. Yeah, dumb. You guys look fucking awful.
And this is the first time you're playing the Chiefs in weeks 1 through 4, not the end of the year. So you might get boat raced.
I fucking hope. Bears at the Texans. We both picked the Texans. And then Falcons at the Eagles. We're both picking the Eagles. I think both of those games can get out of hand as long as CJ doesn't do what Will does, which is, I think it's not that hard. But those are our picks, y'all. Do we want to talk about the tiers?
Yeah, we'll just talk about just pull it
the
up.
The swap.
Yeah, so we did one swap on our tiers, our week zero tiers. We thought it was only fair. We should change it after week one. Overreactions. No, I'm just kidding. So we're going to own up to it now because we had the Saints down in rebuild and the Giants in league average, which clearly that was fucking wrong. Yeah. So we just made the switch. We put the Saints in league average. I don't know. I think we let the noise get to us about the preseason stuff, and Derek Carr hasn't been good. The Saints fans hate him. We were like, oh, he's probably going to just be bad again.
Yeah.
They are who they are. They're going to win 9 games probably. This is just who they are. They still have talent on the roster. Dennis Allen's not a good coach, but I think more of our pick and rebuild was that we think they need to blow it up and just start from scratch because they've never really done that. You know what I mean? Yeah,
they've needed to blow it up a long time ago. So, yeah, that's just for the audio people. All we did was swap the Giants and the Saints on the tier 4. Tier 4 is the Saints are in tier 4 now for league average. It's not like we put them in fucking tier 3 so y'all can fucking relax. Yeah. And then the Giants are in rebuild because that $40 million a year man needs to get fired and cooked. The whole shit just needs to go. Mm-hmm. The whole shit needs to go. And it's not like we had the Giants at the top of the tier 4. These motherfuckers were in the bottom 4.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that they lost like that to Sam Darnold. You got to go down. Yep. So that's our tiers. And, yeah, that should be it, y'all. You have our picks, tiers, bets. I'm going to throw these bets up one more time. Locks of the week, Colts alt -2.5. Get that now. Seahawks -3.5, because we do believe heavily that those will start dropping. Dog of the week, Giants. Let's have some fun, y'all. Let's put some fucking coin on this and get drunk and watch this shit hit. All right? Went 2 for 2 last time, so we kind of know what we're doing, you know? 1 week in, we're already fucking experts. We know what we're doing. Follow us. DWC Bets of the Week. Can't wait for this week of games, even though this shit could be ass. But still got some money to be made. Still got some games to be watching. Still got some games and shit to be talking about. I expect next week to still have hella shit that goes on because that's how the NFL is, and that's why we love the NFL. But make sure you guys like, subscribe, comment, do all that jazz. Go on the social media at DWC2022 on Twitter, at Defense Wins Championships on Instagram. Once a couple more episodes will be dropped, we will be posting on TikTok. And you guys just make sure, please, rate us 5 stars. And on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, that's what we're on for the audio listeners. Rate us 5 stars. all that jazz. And we'll be with you guys next week. Can't wait for more NFL games to be happening and more parity to happen. So thanks again, everybody listening. Thanks for everybody that subscribes and all that. Make sure whatever you guys watch us on, make sure you get the numbers up, because we can't wait to continue to make content for you guys. So we are out. Peace.